Two women, weary from a hard life, and one beautiful baby come to the king, King Solomon, for justice. They were harlots, prostitutes, or in modern parlance, which is supposed to sound destigmatizing but fails spectacularly, sex workers. We can see this is a just kingdom where even the prostitute may plead with the king for her rights. Now, the woman without the baby spoke first. With a voice long practiced in the art of pleasing, she bowed low and said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in one house. I gave birth to a beautiful baby while she was in the house. Now, on the third day after I had given birth, this woman also had her child. Now, we were alone together, her, I, and the babies. There was no other witness in the house. Now it was night.
She rolled over in her sleep and laid on her baby, and the baby died. Now she awoke in the middle of the night, and while I, your humble servant, was fast asleep, she crept in, stole my baby, and replaced him with the dead child. When I woke to nurse my child, he was dead. I was horrified, but then I looked closely and it wasn't my baby. Now, the woman who had the baby screamed, 'You lie! My son is living and your son is dead. You made up this story to steal my baby after you lay on your child.' At this, the women broke down into arguing. Now King Solomon thought, 'Well, there's no other witnesses. And God's word says the truth must be established with two witnesses, and these witnesses disagree.' Then the solution came to him. 'Bring me a sword,' he commanded. 'This is my judgment. Cut the baby in two and give one half to each.' There was a gasp, and then a stunned silence fell over the throne room. All at once, the expression of one of the women changed. Her scowl towards the other woman softened to a deflated cry, 'Just give her the child. Let him live.' Meanwhile, the other woman, unfazed by the king's command, shouted, 'Divide!' Now, in that instant, the emotion of the true mother gave witness to the truth. The king said, 'Stop. Do not harm the child. Give him to his mother.'" Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts and minds to find wisdom this day. And that while not, we may not have a kingdom to govern, we need wisdom in our lives. And I pray, Lord, by your Spirit, we would find it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is obviously the story of Solomon. It's a pretty well-known story, dividing the baby. You may have heard it in a Malcolm Gladwell episode or in all sorts of different contexts. Now, Solomon was a king, and he was known for wisdom. We talked about him last week a bit, and he wrote a bunch of what they called the wisdom literature. He wrote Song of Solomon, most of the Proverbs, and he solved this dilemma with his two women, revealing the truth in a creative way. Maybe the lesson is, you know, you can solve every problem with a sword. Maybe not. Now, we may not have a kingdom to govern, but for a person, and especially a believer, we need wisdom in to go through our lives, to walk in the world. Matthew 10:16, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents, innocent as doves." And secondly, life has a whole bunch of decisions that we're going to have to make that don't have direct scripture references. And so we're going to need wisdom to walk through the world to be able to make those choices. And we need decisions, you know, we need wisdom to decide, like, you know, who are we going to marry? Or if we're going to marry, what job we're going to take, where to go to school. Should I move to another place when I'm in the grocery store and all the watermelons look the same? Which one is going to be a delicious watermelon? And we need wisdom to make all these choices in our lives. Should I purchase the Geo Metro? Should I purchase the Tesla? It can be hard. And even more, when we apply biblical truth, we have to do so in judicious ways. You know, sometimes you might have a teenage child that is getting into trouble and acting up. And as a parent, there are times when your children need, we'll just judiciously call it, some tough love. Like, they need a hammer down. But yet there are other times where your children need like a soft landing place. Like, they need to know that you truly love them. And as a parent, like, knowing when to, you know, the right hand or left hand, like, when to do, like, you need wisdom to do that. And in the Christian life, there's all sorts of times like this where we have to have wisdom to know how we should act in certain situations. Might be in a conversation with someone, you're trying to like show them the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to do so in a way that's going to be appealing. Like, you need wisdom to be able to do that. So how do we grow in wisdom? And we're going to look at the story of Solomon for advice here. And we are going to learn to walk in wisdom. Yes, in case you're wondering, this is one of those acronym sermons where it like spells out walk. Wisdom for wisdom, we need to ask God, learn from the word, and keep our hearts. Now first, before we get into this, I want you just to imagine for a second this scenario. So maybe a little far-fetched, but it's a scenario nonetheless that maybe you'll find yourself in. So you're at the Second Chance store, downtown thrift store, and you're walking through, and all of a sudden this like lamp catches your eye. And you're like, man, this lamp would just look beautiful in my spare bedroom. So you pick up the lamp, you go up to maybe Havila, and you pay for it. $5 for a lamp. Can I get it for $4? Is it the white tags? Can I get it for half? Okay, $5. So we pay $5, bring it home, and as we get it home, we put it on the table in our spare bedroom, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna dust it up. You start like, you know, rubbing it up, and then poof! Out pops a genie. It's like, yeah, you ain't never had a friend like me. And he, you know, singing a song, and says, so what do you want? And he says, you've got 3 wishes, and what are you going to wish for? Okay, now you're probably thinking this is church and this is a trick by the pastor to get me to wish for something bad. But just forget for a moment that you're at church. And the pastor's probably going to use this against you, but just imagine, what do you want? What do you want? Maybe you want money. Maybe you want fame. Maybe you want your relationships to work. Maybe you want your wife to be impressed with you once. Maybe you want Star Wars 7, 8, 8, and 9 to be actually good. Now, if it's amazing, because this is like this far-fetched, like sort of like far out, you know, it's a scenario for a DuckTales episode or a tale from Arabian Nights. By the way, have you ever actually read the Arabian Nights? Like half the time, the genie just comes out and like kills the person. Like it's like the genies are pretty bad. But anyways, someone in the Bible actually gets this opportunity. And the king, this is King Solomon, went to Gibeon, which was a place where they worshiped God, to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. It's funny here when it says 1,000 burnt offerings, kind of a throwaway line, but just think, when the next part comes, just think, Solomon has given all of this stuff to God. And so if there's anyone who might be thinking, you know, I might be entitled to a little bit of the, you know, the riches and fame kind of thing, it would be Solomon, because he's worked so hard for God. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." So here he is. He's got the opportunity. It's like, what is it going to be? You ain't never had a friend like me. It's like, so what is it going to be? There's lots of things that a king might want and might be very useful. Now, Solomon does not ask for, you know, maybe some of the things that we might have asked for. Solomon goes on, this is a little bit of a summary, we've read it all before. He says, "Your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your great people?" He asked not for riches or fame, but for discernment, judgment, in a word, wisdom. And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Now, if we want to be wise, and this is so simple and it's just so easy that we don't want to overlook it because it's what the Bible says. If we want to be wise, we need to ask God for wisdom. Now, God might not have come to you in a dream and be like, hey, you know, ask what you want. But you can ask God for wisdom right now. And there's actually a Bible verse directly talking about this. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom," all right? Now, put up your hand if you lack wisdom. Okay, yeah. I'll exclude people who never put up their hands, because all of us need wisdom. Like, all of us lack wisdom in some way, because we are all being foolish at some point or time. And if we don't think we're ever foolish, just ask someone who knows you well. "If anyone you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach." God is generous. And he's specifically generous in giving us the things that we need most. And one of those things is wisdom. And so we need to ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. And the doubting here, if you go on, it talks about a man being double-minded, unstable in all his ways. It's somebody who asks for something, but is actually kind of also wanting something else. And this is like the danger of the sermon. This is like the whole essence of the sermon in this one thing, is the double-mindedness, because when I went through the whole exercise of the genie popping out, there are things popping into our minds that we think we really need. But if we're going to ask God for wisdom in the way that we need to ask with singular purpose, we need to ask God with wisdom as being more important than all of the genie stuff. Now, we need to ask God for this wisdom, because this wisdom is not just the wisdom of the world, the wisdom to make $1 million on Wall Street, but this is wisdom to live a life as God has called us to live. And in fact, if you go on in James, you can see there's a relationship between wisdom and the gifts of the Spirit. We can see it in James 3. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And if you read that list, it sounds a lot like the list in Galatians Paul gives about the fruit of the Spirit. And so this thing that we're asking for in wisdom is not just to be smart, but a spiritual gift in order to do what is right in God's way. To make those choices, to raise like those teenagers, to know when to or to soft landing. We need wisdom for all these things. And we ask God because Christianity is primarily not a religion of doing, but a religion of asking. How do you become a Christian? You ask God. You ask Jesus Christ come into your heart. You ask for forgiveness of sins. You ask for the Holy Spirit. And God, who gives generously to all without reproach, gives it. And so we first come to God and we ask, because God is the giver. We don't come to God doing, we come to God asking. Now, to ask, we need to want the thing. And I think this is like in my heart, this is the thing that I know is the hardest, because it's the thing I fail at the most, that I don't actually want God's wisdom more than I want other things. Now God says, God said to him, because you have asked this for wisdom and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, like God is blessing him. And Solomon could have asked for a lot of things that people ask for long life. And long life is a thing that people get really obsessed about. How many people, going to the gym, taking all the medicine, eating kale, like all the time, not just like occasionally. We had a kale salad just the other day. It wasn't too bad, but don't tell anybody because I've got a reputation to uphold. And people do all these things for longer life, and they will work so hard to squeeze a few more days out of this decaying shell of a body, and yet they will do so little for wisdom. I felt this tension all this week, and I knew I was preaching this sermon, and I it makes you be convicted, because I knew I had just done family camp or doing VBS, and I want to get up and I just want to veg. I don't want to really do anything. And I know, if I'm making the choice in the morning to go and watch disc golf instead of studying my Bible or watch chess videos, those are the things that distract me on YouTube, instead of praying, I am making the choice there to not want wisdom more than I want something else. I just want to be entertained. I don't want to seek God's wisdom. And that's a problem. Solomon could have asked for riches, and we need to want wisdom more than riches. Now, how many people, when the genie popped up, thought about winning the lottery? I want $1 million. I want $1 million. Like this desire for riches is really deep-seated, because we think, oh man, you know, I'm gonna do a lot of good with this riches. You know, I'm gonna do good for myself, but I'll do good for others too. And the funny thing is, and it's so true in life, you read like all of the classic literature, you know, someone gets this opportunity to get this thing they really want, and what happens? The story gets played out in a million different films, million different books. They get the thing they really want, whether it's fame, whether it's wealth, whether it's something else, and what happens to them? It goes bad. It's all a disaster because they made this choice. And the fact is, even if you got like $1 million today, if you don't have the wisdom to handle it beforehand, $1 million is only going to make you miserable. So we need to seek wisdom instead of riches. And people go so far for riches. Like I always think about the people who are always like going and falling into the next like get rich quick scheme. You know, you get a Facebook message from your friend from high school and you're like, oh man, I really wonder what Colin's doing. Sorry, Colin. And I'm like, oh yeah, how are you doing? He's like, how are you doing? And it's like, hey, yeah, you know, I've started this new company. It's like, do you want to like buy this thing? And I'm like, oh no, Colin. And it's like, but people are willing to be like socially awkward and like bug people who don't want to get bugged in order to gain a dollar. But people are so unwilling to work for wisdom. You know, most of the knowledge in the world you can get for nothing. You know, you can go right now to edx.org, and you can take like all the classes at Harvard for free. Non-credit, of course. If you want the credit, you have to pay them like $200,000. But you just want the knowledge, like that's totally free. A degree is the only thing that costs money. Like knowledge is so cheap in the world today, and yet, you know, I'm not watching classes in Harvard. You know, I'm watching Paul Macbeth play some disc golf. By the way, that's like frisbee golf. For people who don't know, you like throw the frisbees. I'm really into it. It's kind of a problem. Solomon could have asked for the death of his enemies. That's something I'd really like. Man, I'd be tempted. Death of enemies. Maybe we're not death of enemies, but you know, sometimes we wish that people would just disappear, which is kind of the same thing. Wisdom is more valuable than all of these things. And here's the amazing thing is that when Solomon sought wisdom, when he asked for wisdom, he actually got given to him like the fame and the riches and all like all of these things he got given to him because he looked for wisdom first. And this is like wisdom in life. Like it doesn't guarantee you ease, but it does guarantee you that everything that comes to you will be easier. Because walking in wisdom, in God's wisdom, is going to make every trial in your life more bearable, every blessing in your life better. So wisdom. What wisdom? We need to ask God. And ask God, and ask God daily, we need to want it more than we want. We need to be working hard after a buck. We need to work hard after wisdom. Next, we have to learn the word. Now, I talk about reading your Bible all the time, so I'll spend like 2 minutes on this. Solomon wrote, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight." Now, Solomon wrote the words of Proverbs to give people wisdom. In the same way, the whole word of God, we study to gain wisdom. And this is what we need day by day, because we live in a world that is teaching us every moment, whether we want to or not. Like we flip open our phones and it's sending all these notifications after us. Bing, 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 do this, learn this. And trying to make us live in whatever fear or byproduct. And if you don't want to be a slave to Mark Zuckerberg or CNN or whoever else is pulling the strings in Silicon Valley, you need to be guarded in God's word, to be learning and steeped in it day by day, to walk in wisdom. The way we defend ourselves is to actively walk in God's word. So walk, wisdom, ask God, learn from the word, and keep your heart. And I say keep your heart because as we talk about Solomon, we already talked about the end of him last week, is because as good as Solomon was at asking, learning, teaching, he didn't keep his heart. And this is some advice from Solomon that he gave, but he didn't keep. Proverbs 2:2. We want to listen, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. This sentence is so insightful, and it's something I never got when I was a kid, is that you need to make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. And the reason why is our ears are not naturally tuned to wisdom. They're naturally tuned to Katy Perry. Like, I'm listening to like some wise older gentleman talk, and you know, Katy Perry comes in like a dark horse. I'm like, that's just like blaring so easy for me to listen to that and ignore what is wise and everything, because our hearts, reason why Solomon says, incline your heart to understanding, is that our hearts are very often not inclined to understanding. And there's this kind of philosophy in the world, like, to thine own self be true. And it goes back to like Rousseau and like the inner heart, which you just got to follow your own heart. Don't follow your heart. Incline your heart to wisdom. If you are not inclining your heart to wisdom, you are going to be a slave to whatever pops up, to whatever is most pleasurable in the moment. And if you live your life following whatever is most pleasurable in the moment, well, there's a sad story about this, and his name was Solomon. And he married one woman, and that was pretty good, and he decided to marry another, and before long he had 1,000 wives, which is not exactly wise. And following his heart led him to hell. Now, how do you incline your heart to do something it doesn't want to do? And that's the whole Christian life. It's a trick of everything. Community, being around others who are pointed in the same direction. Plug for small groups starting in the fall. Join one, be a leader, it'd be great. Accountability, share your goals. Be like, I want to read the Bible. And you, if you're sitting here being like, man, I really want to get into God's word, like what you should do right after this, or don't use your phones in church, but text your friend right now and say, hey, I want to get together for coffee because I want to set some goals in my like life here to get on the right track. Routine, do it for a couple of months and it will get easier. And, you know, set baby steps. If you haven't read the Bible anymore, don't, you know, sit down and try to read all Leviticus in one setting. You know, maybe just do one verse of John at a time, meditate on it, pray. And remember, all of this is bathed in grace, because as we do this, like, this is not just a command, it's also a prayer. Lord God, make my ear attentive to wisdom. Incline my heart to want what is good, because it so easily goes astray. Because all along, remember, Christianity isn't primarily a rhythm of doing, it's a religion of asking. And we want to ask God, Lord God, make my heart want what is good. Make me want to listen to, you know, the Bible instead of the latest update on my sports team. Wisdom, walk. We need to ask God, because true wisdom comes from God and it's a spiritual gift. We need to learn from the word, and then we need to keep our hearts, because our hearts are constantly going in the wrong direction. And there's only one more thing, and that's just, you know, it doesn't fit in the acronym, but it's just time. Because the thing about wisdom is not not popcorn. You don't just put heat and boom, you're going to be wise. So don't think you're going to go, you're going to start doing one thing, it's going to be wise, because wisdom takes the long haul. It's a long walk. It's not a sprint. It's not a skydive. Wisdom skydiving. There's no such thing as insta wisdom. All there is walking, asking of God, learning his word, and keeping your heart day by day. And someday, when you grow to maturity, you are going to be, if you walk in wisdom, a blessing to your spouse, to your community, to your church, and the wider world. Because wise people change the world day by day.